Okay, we're going to start the last of our series on the perm series, and I want to thank everyone that's come out tonight and any of the other previous sessions. It's really been making it a success, so it's a lot of appreciation for that. And hopefully we can continue on into Pesach. We'll have a good 4 weeks until Pesach, and we might have to start going with matzah brei for the pairings, perhaps, so just to fit. But we'll see, maybe matzah pizza or something of that sort. And again, tonight's learning, in addition to the previous sessions, has been or is going to be in the memory of my sister, Shani Splaver, and my wife, Salila's father, Dr. Herbert Rosenkranz, both people that were tremendous supporters of Torah. So we're going to be doing learning in honor of their in their memories tonight, as we've been doing for this whole session. I'm sorry, I've got a little sushi in the esophagus, so please don't mind that. Now tonight, the topic tonight is the tale of Vashti's tale, and obviously this is going to be taking up a very, very famous Medrash. And this Medrash is the Medrash of the tale that Vashti grew, and a lot of us know about this. And if you don't know about it, very quickly you're going to hear something, which, if this is the first time you're hearing it, you should have the response of, what is going on over here, and what's this all about? And again, it's sort of like a theme that I've been going through this past year, but I've been wanting to take up Midrashim this past year, that they're the kind of the Midrashim which often turn people off from Judaism. Because of the kind of Midrashim, when people hear it, they say, it's just a fairy tale kind of religion, I've been more attracted this year. This has been just one of my goals this year, which is to take up those Midrashim that challenge people's seriousness of Judaism and to take it up in a real intellectual kind of way, and to really get to the depth and the pearls of what Chazal really meant when they spoke in this manner. And hopefully it will be taking these kinds of stories that we have heard from childhood and that we sort of just take from childhood and view them as fairy tales, and hopefully we can start turning them into the very things that actually make us very attracted to Judaism because of the intellectual ideas and the depth of human nature that Chazal are presenting to us. Okay, so what I'm going to do tonight is really I'm just going to jump right into a Gemara. And this is Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Sorry, I don't have photocopies, but I'll go anyway. So, it goes like this. Vatemo'in Hamalka Vashti. So as we all know, Queen Vashti, she refused to come out at the king's party. So Achashverosh had this huge party at the beginning of the Megillah for 127 provinces. And at this huge party, he wanted Vashti to come out, and she refused. So, Mikedi. So let's take a little closer look at this. Pritzis Ahave, da Amar Marsh, Nehem Ledavar Avera Niskavne. My time aloasai. So we know that Vashti's nature was that she was a prutza. She was an immodest woman. She was perhaps promiscuous. Some might even use the word exhibitionist. She wanted to flaunt what she had. She was known for the flaunt. So, because of this, quality, and we also were taught by Mar that both her and Achashverosh were into this kind of promiscuous, flaunting kind of personality. So, my time aloha soy. Why wouldn't she want to come out? If the king is asking her to come out to flaunt what she has, why did she, in the world, not come out? This is what she lived for. This is what she wanted to do. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Melamed Sheparcha Batzaras. So he says, we learn from this that the reason why she didn't come out is because she had an acute case of leprosy. So it's leprosy that she had. Tzaras. B'masnisa Tana, when the Mishnah teaches, O, Bagavriel V'asala Zanov. But another opinion says that Gavriel, the angel, came and made a tale for her. And that's the reason why she didn't want to come out. So right off the bat, it's not so clear that it was even a tail that was created for her. And for some reason, the tsaras was not as fun of a story, I guess, to tell to kids. She grew a tail like a monkey. I don't know. I mean, a monkey tail, a lemur tail. I don't know what the tail looked like, but it's interesting that it wasn't even clear if it was a tail. She might have even had just some kind of skin condition. Just doesn't get the kind of hype that the tail does. All right. Just to continue on more, it says, Vayiktof HaMelech Ma'od, and the king became very angry. That says in the Megillah. V'chamoso Barovo, and he like flared in anger against her. So the Gemara says, Amai Dalkabe. So she said, no, I'm not going to come out. So why did he get this enraged fury of her not coming out? Apparently Gemara says it's not so clear. Why would he get that angry for asking her to come out and her saying no? He could have got angry, but not this rage. So Amar Rava. Rava said, Shalchale, she sent a message to him when she said no. So what was this message? Bar Ahoraraya de Abba. So Rashi says, this is Ahoraraya says, Shomrei Asusim. She says, you're the son of my father's stableman. All right, so my father. So apparently Vashti was royalty. So her father was the king before. I'm not sure. I'm not a good historian. Who was the king? Who was?
She was the son of Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar was. Nebuchadnezzar was two before. Was her grandfather, but who was her father?
Belshazzar.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So she said, you're the son of my father's stableman. That's who you are. So Abba Lakabel Alpha Chamra Shasi Velorabi. My father could drink against 1,000 people, and he wouldn't get drunk. Vahau Gavra, but you, this guy over here, Ishtati Bechamre Miyad. Okay, but you become silly from drinking immediately. Meaning to say, you couldn't hold up, you're just the son of a stableman, and you can't even hold up to the drinking of my father. My father was a guy that could drink against 1,000 people and nothing would bother him, but you drink a little bit and you get crazy. All right. So, v'chamaso barvo, that's what caused him to get infuriated. Vayomer HaMelech LeChachamim. And that's when the Chachamim, that's when the king started to consult and saying, I got to do something over here. So it's an interesting thing, is that we're all taught that the reason why the king became so enraged at Vashti and to the point of wanting to kill her is because she refused to come out. Mm-hmm. Not according to the Gemara, really. According to the Gemara, that was just a piece of it. The thing that really caused Ahasuerus to want to kill Vashti was because she said something really stupid when she said no. When she said, no, I'm not coming, she didn't say, you take a look at this tail. It might not be a good idea. It might not look good to the kingship, or I've got this tsaras. She didn't say that. She didn't say, I'm not really looking my prettiest tonight. She came out with some kind of a weird, vengeful thing against Ahasuerus. She said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming out. She doesn't give a reason why, but she says she insults the king. She says you're nothing compared to my father, and you're just the son of a stableman. So, it's a very odd kind of. I mean, according to Chazal, that's what really caused her death wish, or her death nail, was this kind of insult to Ahasuerus, and not by the fact that she said no. But that just begs the question of what was Vashti thinking? Why did she say that? Okay. All right. Now, this is just one part of the Gemara, and I think the questions are just very obvious kind of questions. But I mean, just one question is, where did Chazal get this idea? We don't really know too much about Vashti straight from the Megillah. So where is this idea of her being an immodest woman? In terms of that kind of personality, promiscuous, and all these kinds of things. Where does Chazal know that from? And what's this argument about whether she had a tail or did she have leprosy? What's the basis of this kind of argument? just where does it come from? And I would say also is that it seems like a strange kind of argument, because these are the kinds of facts you should very easily know if it happens or not. Like, it's very easy to know if someone grew a tail or if someone had leprosy. I mean, what's the basis of this argument? I mean something so dramatic that I mean, if someone grew a tail, I think we would all know. I think it's a very obvious kind of thing. So why is there an argument about this? And the last part of this is that if she did grow a tail, or let's say she did have tzaraat, that's a pretty important part of the story. It's such an important part of the story, it should be in the Megillah. Meaning, first of all, the Megillah is not shy about giving details. The Megillah is a very detailed piece of ksuvim. So that is a kind of detail which is very important to put in there. And not only that, the Torah is never shy to talk about tzaraas. I mean, how many times in the Torah do people have tzaraas and the Torah actually mentions it? The most famous person being who?
Miriam.
Moshe. I mean, when people get tzaraas, the Torah is very open about it. So if you think about Chumash, which is a very cryptic writing, and it still mentions people have tzaraas, certainly you should be mentioning tzaraas by a story in Ksuvim, which is a very detailed kind of story. So which makes me think that our intuitions, I think, are free to now therefore say, you don't have to take, you should not be taking these things literally. You should not be taking the idea of a tail growing literally. It has to be teaching you something else, because otherwise it would necessarily by definition be there, given the content of what the Megillah is versus all of their other kinds of psukim in the Torah. Okay? And again, like we said, there's a lot of difficulty with Vashti's response, that we're learning something new, that her death was not brought about by her decision not to come. It was brought about by a very horrible judgment call of what to say to Achashverosh when she said, I'm not going to come. Okay? So in order to answer this stuff, I think we need to get a little background knowledge about who Vashti is according to Chazal, and a little bit of her background. So back in the Gemara, it says as follows. So Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Shnehem ledavar vera niskavnu. So Rabba said that both Achashverosh and Vashti, they were preoccupied with sin. So, and we'll see what kind of sin. Haino da Amri Inshi. And this is based upon a saying of people. You're going to see Chazal were very big into sayings, and their sayings are very interesting kind of sayings. But they said, Ihu Bakari. So Bakari means Duluin Gedolos, according to Rashi, a large pumpkin. So he says, he or Achashverosh, was a large pumpkin. The Itasei, Bebotsini. And his wife was a Botsini. So Rashi says, Duluin Katanos. She was a small pumpkin. Okay. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, so Kiloma, Rashi says, meaning to say, so Rashi himself was amused by this saying and he needed to explain what this meant. Kilomar, meaning to say, deba'oso min atzmo. So he said, they were the same species. They both were pumpkins. Okay? Okay? Zen noef vezu noefis. He was promiscuous. He did adulterous kind of things. Zu noefis. She did adulterous kinds of things. Hu omer, but he would say, laharos es yofia. He said, come see and look at the beauty of what I have. She was like eye candy. He would flaunt. He said, "Everyone, come look at this thing." Vehi lekach niskavna, and she would say, "Good." She stak lebiofia. She'd say, "Yeah, come take a look at me." Meaning to say, there were two pumpkins in a pod. So, but he was the more. They call him the big pumpkin because he was the instigator. He would say, Achashverosh would say, "Come look at how beautiful my woman is," and she would say, "Yeah, come take a look how beautiful I am. I'm right here." Yeah.
Because royalty was always, could do what they want, they flaunted to the laws, obviously, of the land, because according to Joseph's Antiquities of the Jews, history, in Persia in those days, wives were forbidden to be seen by strangers. So obviously, they did flaunt to whatever they wanted to do, because they were rich and they were kings, they did what they wanted.
So I'll just add something to that. Okay. I mean, I guess they could have done that, okay?
It just seems like they do what they want, or maybe it wasn't that bad, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing I'm going to add is I'm not going to be able to really add too much, but yeah. But it's their personalities, meaning to say you might have kings and queens that didn't want to show off to the whole country. I mean, hypothetically, just take a look at the president and the... Generally, president's wives don't come out naked. They just don't. All right? I just don't think they do that. Or at least not on purpose. I don't know. But where did they get this from? Where did they know this from about this? Because it says, Gam Vashti Amalka Asisa Mishta Nashim, Beis Hamachas. Because when it says that Achashverosh made the party, right? It says that Vashti also made a party, Asisa Mishta Nashim, she made a woman party, Beis Hamachas, in the king's palace. But the Gemara says, Beis Hanashim Mibayle. It should have said that she made a party for women in the women's part of the palace. Meaning it wasn't just announced there's one big party and everyone come. Apparently there was two parties. There was a for the king, but then there was a mishta for the nashim. So if it wasn't announced for there to be one big party and it was announced to be two parties, so the intent was, should have been, that you have two separate parties. But it says that she made it not where the woman's quarters were, she made it in the men's quarters. Meaning to say, they were going to have big parties, and if someone happens to get a little tipsy and drunk, I might find my way into the men's quarters over here. And who knows what's going to be, I might have to show off myself. The Gemara is basically saying, this is where the concept of Vashti's immodesty comes from, because of a deduction from the psukim, that it didn't say there was one big party, but there was a man party and a woman party, but the woman party, it says, was specifically done where the men's party was. Okay? So, okay. Now going on. So it says, Bayom HaShvi, and on the seventh day of this party, Ketov Lev HaMelech B'Yayin, when the king's heart was very happy with wine. So Gemara says, Atu Ad Hashta Lo Tav Libei B'Chamra. So it says, up until this point, his heart was not happy with wine, meaning he needs 7 days to get a good buzz from wine. I mean, what's this idea of 7 days of waiting to get drunk or to feel really good with wine? Very high tolerance level, perhaps. I don't know. So, Amar Rava. Rava said, Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Haya. So he says, when it says it was the seventh day, it doesn't mean he was drink on the seventh day of his drinking. It says it was the seventh day. It was Shabbos. This was a Shabbos that when this thing occurred. Okay. Why? So we'll see. Shisrael ochlin v'shosin matchilin b'divrei Torah uv'divrei tishbachos. Because on Shabbos, when the Jewish people start their eating, they begin their eating with words of Torah and with praises to God. Like Kiddush and stuff like that. That's how they start their meals. Okay. But non-Jewish people, she'ochlin b'shosin, when they eat and drink, ein maschilin ela b'divrei tiflos. They begin with frivolities. I mean, already it's like a strange digression the Gemara is getting into right now. But we'll have to see what relevance does it have how Jewish people start their meals versus not Jewish people. And it's just that's a question, but we'll have to investigate that as we go on. So, v'chein b'sudaso shalosa rasha. And that's how the meal of the rasha Achashverosh began. Halalu omrim. The people at the meal said as follows. Midios noos, v'halalu omrim parsios noos. So some people at this banquet said, Midianite women are the most beautiful women. And other people said, no, Persian women are the most beautiful women. Amar lama Achashverosh. Achashverosh said to them, Kli shani mishtamish bo eno lo midoy velo parsi. He uses very derogatory language towards Vashti. But what does he say? He says, the utensil that I make use of, it's not a Midianite woman and it's not a Persian woman. Ela kazdoy, it's a Kazdian woman. That's the one, that's the utensil I make use of. Lertzonchem lirosa, you want to see her? Amru lo in. They said, sure, we'll take a look at her. Ubilvad shetei aruma, but on one condition, she has to come out naked. Okay, so shebemida sheadam moded ba modedin lo, and this started the downfall of Vashti, because this was a Mita Kenegan Mita situation that started to unravel for her. This was a measure for measure. Melamed, we learned, Shahaisa Vashti Arsha Mevia Benos Yisrael. So Vashti, the evil one, what would she do? She would take Jewish women and she would strip them naked and make them do work on Shabbos. That's what she would do. And that's the Mita Kenegan Mita over here. She was asked to come out naked. So I know Dichsiv, and this is why it says, Achar Devarim Ma'ela, Kesho Chamas Amach Achashverosh, that when the king Achashverosh, when he started to become sober, Zachar's Vashti, he remembered Vashti, Vesasher Asasa, and everything that she had done, Vesasher Nigzar Alea, and the decree he made against her, Keshem Sha'asasa Kach Nigzar Alea. And he remembered, apparently, according to the Gemara, that because he realized she did this kind of stuff to the Jewish woman, he wanted to kind of give her a taste of her own medicine to come out naked. But we see it didn't really work out too well for her. Because then the Gemara gets into, well, why didn't she want to come out naked? She was this flaunting kind of woman. She was a, right? And it says, well, something must have happened to make her not want to come out. Okay. Any questions? Because that's the facts up until now. All right. Questions? Yeah.
She was implied, was she outrightly stated that he couldn't hold his liquor or couldn't measure up to her father.
Right.
But it took 7 days before he, well, I know you're saying it's Shabbos, and he also had this party for 180 days. He was drinking for a long time.
Right. So the way it sounds like it
seems to contradict what she was saying.
Right. Well, according to this, it sounds like, I mean, if you take the Gemara, it's saying that it did not take him 7 days to get drunk.
It was the seventh day
that the event started to unravel. But really, he could have gotten wasted very much quicker. Right? Okay. So a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of background. Now, if we want, again, just to take up a few questions. What was Vashti's purpose? why did she do this to the Jewish woman? It sounds horrible. She would take them on Shabbos and make them do work, but strip them naked in front of everyone. It sounds like horrible, horrible stuff. I mean, where did she come from? It's just like out of left field that she wanted to do this to the Jewish woman. So, first of all, where did she get this idea or desire to do this to the Jewish woman from? And number two is, why did she pick these two things? I mean, it's very odd. I mean, they're both very bad, but why? Why specifically work on Shabbos and the derogatory stripping in public? I mean, they seem random to me. That's the thing. They just seem like random things to choose for why, what you would choose to take out some kind of issue with the Jewish people. Okay? Okay, so these are the questions. All right, then hopefully we can start answering up these questions now. Now, to answer up these questions, we just got to take piece by piece because there's a lot of pieces here. So hopefully we can just start building again. Like you lay down like a foundation and put up another block, another block, another block, and I think you start to see a structure happens. You know, like you see someone building a house. It starts, looks like nothing at a foundation, but then you start block, 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 on block, and once everything, you've answered all the layers, then somehow something beautiful starts to unravel. So hopefully that's what we can do over here, but we got to just start off small. Start off at the most basic of what we can do. Now, the Gemara started off, I think we should, and I think what we should do is take up the personality of Vashti a little bit deeper. And in terms of how she maybe compares to Achashverosh. Because they're considered two pumpkins in a pot. Okay, they've got the big pumpkin and the little pumpkin. Now, her personality, we said, is that... So Achashverosh was the guy that said, come look at her beauty. Everyone look at this. And she was, and she said, yes, I love this thing. Now, she was she's an exhibitionist. And she likes to do such things. Okay? Now, an exhibitionist basically is a person that gets a lot of satisfaction and perhaps a lot of ego. They're a very narcissistic quenching of something by the fact that they're obsessed with their body and other people's wanting to see their body. Okay? Now, Ahasuerus, he's a little bit different. See, Ahasuerus, he gets his ego by having plenty, meaning by having wealth. I've got a lot of wealth. I've got a lot of food. I've got a lot of jewels. I've got the beautiful woman. She's just one piece of the puzzle that gives him ego. So of amassing things. That's where his ego comes from. But see, Vashti's, at least on the surface right now, it's very... The example I thought was possible is like this, and I think we can relate to it. If you take a look at social media, there's generally two different kinds of ego satisfaction or narcissistic satisfaction on social media. There's the people who say, look where I'm traveling. Look at this car that I bought. Look, I just made this, or I just got this. My kid just, I've amassed all these kinds of satisfactions in life, and I want everyone to know about it. So their ego satisfaction comes from everyone knowing or showing that I've amassed all sorts of things. I've got so much happiness from all this and this and that, and everyone should know about it. That's Ahasuerus. But you see, there are certain kinds of people on social media, they don't do that. Their thing is purely, I want to look a certain way, and I need to have people just view a beauty. Like, I need to be this object of beauty for people to look at. Generally it's with women, but you know, like a bodybuilder kind of guy. You know, there are people that are obsessed with their looks. And the ego satisfaction on social media for them, they're not talking about all the vacations they necessarily took, but they're airbrushing up their faces so people view them in a certain kind of way. And they want all sorts of, there's a certain kind of satisfaction they get of people being preoccupied with, like, I am the perfect specimen. I am the specimen of beauty, and that is where the ego satisfaction comes from. So at least on the surface, starting off, just basically, I think Vashti is like, her whole ego set, or she's very narcissistic when it comes to the perfect specimen of beauty. And she probably was a very beautiful woman. But that is what defined who she was. She was obsessed with that component of herself. Okay? Now, what the Gemara does from there, I think, is that, it just makes sense, is this Gemara is not a random piece of facts. So that was Ahasuerus and Vashti in a nutshell. Okay, two different kinds of ego seekers, but in different kinds of ways. One is either in the amassing of things and flaunting that, or is it the self? And the self is the body is a little bit more of a difficult thing to get caught up in, because it's very narrow-minded. At least with Ahasuerus, if he loses, you know, like $10 million, he's still got something else going on. You know, it's like, there's pluses and minuses for where you want to find your ego satisfaction. You probably get a little bit more limited with the Vashti. But I think that's how it's going to play on the story also. Now, where the Torah goes from there, where the Gemara goes from there and says, so this is their philosophy. Now, how does that match up to Jewish philosophy? Okay, these kinds of pursuits. So he says, how should we view these kinds of pursuits in Judaism? So the Gemara says, next it says, well, this whole thing happened on Shabbos, right? And when Jews start a meal, their meals always begin with praises of God. And what was it? And Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah and praises of God. So what the Gemara is saying is that in so far as how you compare that to the Jewish philosophy, you see, Jewish philosophy obviously is not into these pursuits as a main prime mover of human pursuits in life. Okay? Now, but what does it say? It says, yeah, you should enjoy life. You should have your meals. You should have banquets and stuff like that. But we always preempt our satisfactions in life with a recognition of God. That as long as you have that perspective, so that's why I'm saying that when it comes to meals, like for instance a Shabbos meal, you make Kiddush before it. And you really can branch that out to making brachos before any foods you eat. that before we engage in the instincts or the pleasures of this world, it always comes with a preemptive, by the way, just recognize that there is a greater good beyond this time-limited satisfaction. And ultimately, what we're trying to say is that whenever we engage in our instincts and pleasures in this world, hopefully it will fit into some greater scheme. Okay? And that's why we engage in certain acts of brachos or kiddush before we have our instincts. So, if that's the case, that this is the Jewish approach to how to engage in the world, or the philosophy of what to how to go after things, what should be our prime mover, someone like Vashti might not take too well to that. Because according to Vashti, the universe really is about the self. Her body defines what is the good in the universe. That is the ultimate pursuit. There's no greater existence beyond this perfect specimen over here. Okay? The thing is that you have a bunch of women who dress in a certain way that are saying the exact opposite. They dress modestly. Okay? So that is a direct affront to someone who has a very narrow look in terms of what is her self-worth. And people are saying, people living their lives in a way that's showing that's secondary to how I live my life. What you look like is a secondary approach to life. And that's an affront to her, because if she's as obsessed as the Gemara seems to be making her out to be in terms of what is the ultimate good in life, and everything is about that body, it's really a blow to her whole self-worth. Because it's a blow to her self-worth. Okay? Now, when you look at Jewish identity, though, generally, there's going to be two ways that Jewish identity and self-worth gets displayed. For instance, if you ask someone, says, "Does this person keep kosher?" What is generally the answer that people give to say, yes, it's okay, you can rely on them? They ask what? They what do they ask? Do you keep Shabbos? Does he keep Shabbos? Okay, keep Shabbos? Okay, you can rely on them. It's generally, Shabbos is one of those things that defines a Jewish person. Because, first of all, it just acknowledges a supreme being outside of the self. And acknowledging a supreme being outside of the self is already a blow to one's narcissistic feelings. But again, that is a direct affront to someone that says that there is no supreme being outside the self. My perfect specimen of a body is a supreme self, is a supreme being of the world, of the universe. Okay? So, I think on one hand, it's not so random what Vashti therefore decided to do. She therefore said, I'm going to get these women who have a value system, and that value system and identity of the self is the epitome of that, is the keeping of Shabbos, because you recognize, and not only that, by recognizing that there is a supreme being of the universe, you therefore refrain from doing those kinds of technological and productive and creative activities which generally are there to give man a certain sense of himself being great. So the whole concept of Shabbos is taking away from man's greatness. And he ceases from those kinds of activities that usually give his greatness in deference to a supreme being of the universe, which all seems to have a big blow on the narcissistic drive in human beings. So, again, Vashti, who is narcissistic by her obsession with the body, would take issue with something like Shabbos. So it's very clear why she, in one hand, would view Shabbos as a threat and have the Jewish woman therefore violate Shabbos. But again, but what did she live for? She lived for the body. These women don't live for the body. They live in a more modest kind of life. Their pursuits are of something higher than the body. So what does she do? She says, no, I'm going to make you have a focus like me. I'm going to strip you naked so that the only thing that is on your mind is your body and concern about your body, And I'm going to reinforce that because everyone else is going to see it. And you're going to even now have the social stigma of people now when they see you every time afterwards say, I saw you naked. So she wanted to produce saying, no, you think you're great. I'm going to have you be preoccupied with your bodies because that's what I do. So these were not random things that Vashti did to get at the Jewish people. These were the two main things that were direct affronts to her whole life and to her whole sense of, am I a worthwhile human being at all? And the Jewish woman's lives were an affront to that, and she had to take them down. Now this obviously happened for quite some time. So what happened? Apparently, God set up, there was hashgacha. There was a hashgacha. And the hashgacha, there was a providence, and the providence put Vashti into a certain kind of situation. The situation was, we're at this party, she was going to be asked to flaunt her body. Okay? Now, providence said at that moment, there's going to be a defect in your body. Okay, I don't know what that defect was exactly. It could be a tail, could be this straw, but I think it's more, it's not those things. Let's just say she had like something which was very pronounced. Okay? And she was going to have to be put into a situation of either I have to realize what I've been doing this whole time, and therefore she's going to have to make a certain decision of confronting Ahasuerus and saying why she can't do this, and have to fess up to some distortion about life, or she's going to have to say, I can't realize some distortion I've been having in life, and she's going to die. God basically put her... These things were not punishments in of themselves. They're going to be putting Vashti into a scenario of having to make a choice about this moment in time. So she's given a blemish. Question is, this kind of woman, she has a blemish and she's dealing with the world. Look, she's on live stream with a blemish to the entire world with being naked. What's her choice going to be? How is she going to view this situation? Something's going to have to unravel here. Okay, and that, I think, is what's going to be going on over here. All right. Okay. Now, I think that's where it gets us finally to the question of the tail, and to the, or, you know, did Vashti now grow a tail, or did she have tzaras? Okay. All right. Now, like we said, she had a distorted view of what is the purpose of a human. Okay. I think Chazal have an argument about what exactly was her distorted view of what makes a great human being. It's not 100% clear, and that's why there's an argument as to what happened to her. Okay. Hear me out. A tail, if I would say an animal has a tail, is that a defect? No. So a tail is not inherently a defect in a living being. Okay, it would be odd for a human being to have it. Okay. But generally, what's the association of tails? The association of tails is animals. Animals have tails. Human beings don't have tails. But a tail is not inherently like a defect in a being. Now, if an animal were to have leprosy, would that be a defect? Yes. Okay, so, again, slowly. Tzaras is inherently a defect, whether you're an animal or a human being. A tail is not inherently a defect, but for a human being, it probably would be. But the tail is the idea of an animalistic kind of life. Okay? So, I think going back with what we've been saying the whole time, is that certainly Vashti was this obsessive, having the perfect specimen of a body kind of person. That's who she was. She was focused on the be-all and end-all of her existence was to be this sought-after human. Okay? So, insofar as that is all she cares about, she only cares about a physical component of the body. So what Chazal are saying is that the kind of defect she had fed into... Meaning, it broke down everything she was about, and therefore, she went crazy, or she had nothing to live for. It's like someone that's like a face model, and like all of a sudden they have like a horrible accident, and they have nothing else to live for. I mean, everyone in their own world has that thing, but this was her thing. So, if her issue was the preoccupation with the physical self, so that is was a kind of the flaw that happened, fed into that distortion. That was the distortion she had to deal with. Could she deal with that there is a greater existence beyond my physical body? Okay. The thing is that Chazal teach us that there was one other thing that got Vashti to perhaps have some self-worth as a human being. But see, that thing that gave her self-worth as a human being had nothing to do with her. At least the physical body, you say, this is my physical body. There's one other thing. What was that other thing? She was royalty. She was born into royalty. So what that really is saying is that she might have said, I am part of royalty, and that gave her a certain amount of self-worth. But really what that's saying is that I am a defective human being. I don't have anything. I'm a nothing. I don't have anything. The only thing that I have going for me is that I was born into a certain family. Sort of to me, like reminds me of like the epitome of all this is sort of like the Kardashians. You have people that have nothing, you know, to give to the world, nothing to add to the universe, except they were born into a family and they're trying to look beautiful. It's like she was like the Kardashians, like all the way back then. So the thing is, though, is that there was that one other element that was her like life string of having any kind of self worth. Now it's the fact that I'm at least born into royalty. But reality is so clear to people. You know, it's not very hard for a person to say I'm a nobody. Like, you have a very low self esteem because I don't have anything, and just because my family was this. That sort of makes you feel a certain way, but you ultimately know I don't have anything. I'm a defective person because I don't even have anything. So Tzaras to me is more like she was a defective person because her only claim to fame or of any kind of self-worth had nothing to do with her, had to do with a family. But the other way of saying the tail is it's not inherently a defect, but living your life as an animal or for the animalistic, for the physical, is problematic for a person. It's a very empty kind of meaningless kind of life, and then she started to come to that realization. So the question is that when God made this kind of flaw in her skin happen, and therefore she didn't want to come out to Ahasuerus, or she was not able to show the world what she was like, Chazal are kind of grappling with what was the essential mistake that made her feel like she was not a worthwhile human being anymore, that she started to have an epiphany about at this moment. Was it that she said, I'm simply just someone that is living for physicality, and that's an empty, meaningless kind of feeling to her? Or did it go beyond that? And it said, she was sort of like, that just caused her to say, so what else do I have? Oh, I'm royalty, but so what? That itself started to crumble. The question is, which part of this was a greater sense that could keep her moving in life? And that Chazal are sort of grappling with in terms of, did she have the tail or did she have the tzaras? And the way we know that, I think this thing about her having this sense of just being royalty is you see that from her response ultimately to Ahasuerus, because what really happened is that she didn't come out, right? And she sort of went crazy, because if her mind was a little bit there, she just would have explained to Ahasuerus, I can't come out because I'm not pretty tonight. But because she had some kind of a defect that she apparently viewed was not going to ever go away, that whole sense of herself was gone. Life was sort of meaningless, so she was now in panic crisis mode. She was not thinking clearly. And that panic crisis mode, so she now had to rely on the last possible thing, which was, it says, I'm good, but it has nothing to even do with my beauty. I'm just born into a certain family. But the problem is that she's now forced to confront Ahasuerus. But Ahasuerus was the son of a stableman. So now she's left feeling worthless about her body. And now she's saying, maybe I can be a great person because I was born to a family, but this guy who is a stableman's son is making me want to come out. So all she could do was that she reacted and she said, the only way I can get an ego satisfaction now is if I can just take down someone else. She said, you're nothing more than a guy that's a stableman's son, and my father could drink you to town. But that's because she was in crisis mode from a falter in life about her physical body, and now she was not thinking, she was in crisis, she was just, when people get into crisis mode, they don't make good decisions, they make horrible decisions, and she was forced to just, the only thing she could do was like, all I could do now is just try to make myself feel better about the fact that I was born to royalty and you weren't. So, in the beginning of the story, you see, we talk about the Vashti's attachment to physicality. In the end of the story, we see Vashti's grasping at straws about ego of, can I get a sense of self at all just because I was born into a certain family? But it's very interesting to me that there was two possibilities as to what was the blemish that happened to Vashti that made her not want to come. And I think the question is, which one of those two? Was it the physicality issue, like the animalistic of the physical body? Or was it the, I'm a flawed person because I don't have anything in and of myself, and I'm relying on other people for my well-being? And that's where the Chazal really are grappling with. Those two, to me, is not random, that these elements of her life are brought up, and there's two elements about what possibly happened to her. So, okay. All right, that's it. Thank you.